Prepare to have your health questions answered here on Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley, owner of Binkley Healing Center in downtown Ventura. Now, here's Dr. Todd.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley, board-certified doctor of non-force chiropractic and practitioner of functional medicine. Happy New Year. Are you ready to thrive in 2025? Start the new year out right with a renewed commitment to taking better care of your health every day. Resolve to make this your best year ever. How are you going to do that? Well, there's lots of ways, lots of areas in life that can use attention, always can be improved upon. I'm going to focus today on the things that you can do to improve your physical health, mainly your mental and emotional and spiritual health are also very important. But for your physical health, better food always starts there, hopefully, with better food, with spinach and broccoli and cauliflower and mushrooms and Brussels sprouts and carrots and beets and tomatoes and peppers, getting more of these things in your system every day. You can cook these things with fresh chopped garlic and onions or shallots and pepper, and or if you, you know, or just throw them in soup. This time of year is a great time of year to make soup. All kinds of recipes out there online for making your own soup. Or if you don't have time, you can buy stock and add things to it. Or even, worst case scenario, buy some canned soup and improve it by throwing in some broccoli or spinach or other fresh vegetables to your liking. Eat more good protein like chicken and salmon and nuts and seeds and beans. Healthy starches like quinoa instead of white rice. Okay, if you've never had quinoa, it's actually delicious. It has kind of a nutty flavor. Healthy fats like olives and olive oil, avocados, coconut oil, nuts, and nut butters. It's always a good idea for most people to eat less starch. You probably heard that before. Bread, rice, pancakes, pasta, cookies, crackers, bagels, etc. It's usually a good idea to eat less of those things for most of us. And to cut out sugar as much as possible. A little dark chocolate is nice. The worst sugar of all is liquid sugar. Syrup, soda, beer, fruit juice of any kind. There are lots of nutrients in fruit, but it's always better to get those by eating fruit, and preferably the fruits with the highest amount of antioxidants and other beneficial nutrients and the least amount of sugar, like berries, not grapes, not melons or oranges or overripe bananas. Physical activity is also critically important to maintaining and improving your health. And the best form of physical activity is the one that you'll actually do, that's easy to incorporate into your life, into your schedule, and that you actually enjoy so that you can do it every day, or at least, say, 5 days a week. Walking, cycling, swimming, if you have access to a pool, is wonderful. Resistance training with weights or with bands or just using your body weight, like when you do push-ups. Just regular old calisthenics. You don't have to join. It's nice to have go to a gym if you have access to one, but you can just do plain old calisthenics, push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jacks at home. You can get a stationary bike or a treadmill or an elliptical machine if you really don't want to go out. You can get an exercise bike with a comfortable seat. I was just looking this up, adjustable resistance to make it a better workout, and a bracket on the handlebars to hold your tablet or a phone. A nice exercise bike on Amazon for $200. So good food, better food, exercise, supplements. So many times when I test people, thousands of people I've tested are not getting enough nutrients from their food. And that's why supplements are often important. The supplements you need are best determined by testing. But there's three things I recommend that everyone supplement, because nobody tends to get enough of them from food. And they are a good multivitamin for the minerals, about 1.5 grams of fish oil for the omega-3s, and 500 units of vitamin D. If you're over 50, I often recommend a vitamin D with K2 combined, especially if you're over 50 or at risk for heart disease or osteoporosis especially. So why? Why does everyone need a multivitamin? Well, you can get vitamins from food, vitamin C. There's vitamin D in multis, but usually only 400 units a day. And you really need 5,000 units a day of vitamin D to keep your immune system functioning at its peak. And vitamin D affects every system in your body. But mainly, you need a multivitamin for the minerals. Most people do not get enough bioavailable calcium, magnesium, iodine, selenium, copper, manganese, chromium, molybdenum, potassium, and zinc from food. They don't get enough of those things from food. So hence the need to take a good multivitamin. And a good multivitamin is always 3 or 4 capsules per day, usually 4 capsules per day, never one. There is no one-a-day multivitamin that is useful. It is not possible to fit the bioavailable forms, the good forms that your body recognizes and will absorb and actually use to make new healthy cells with. You can't fit those forms in an adequate dose in one pill per day. So that's why you can tell if a good multi is good by starting out by just making sure that it's at least 3 or 4 capsules a day, not a one a day. Fish oil. So the best place to get omega-3 fatty acids that we all need for heart health, brain health, its anti-inflammatory benefits, even cancer prevention. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the cancer prevention effects of omega-3 fatty acids here in a little bit, is by eating oily fish like sardines, oysters, salmon, and tuna. If you don't overdo the tuna, tuna is a special consideration because of the mercury content. The biggest fish have the most mercury, and tuna is a huge fish. So I don't recommend eating a lot of tuna from restaurants or the typical chunked chicken of the sea type tuna from cans, because it's all high in mercury. It's impossible to avoid. But you can get tuna, polecat, smaller tuna, in cans and packed in olive oil to minimize the mercury exposure. A brand called Wild Planet is one that makes this, and it's delicious. Packed in olive oil, it's a whole fillet of tuna. It's really delicious. If you can put it on a salad, you can eat it right out of I eat it right out of the can sometimes if I'm in a hurry, with some capers or some fresh tomatoes, or on a bed of mixed greens with a little olive oil. And canned fish is super convenient when you don't have time to cook. And if it's packed in olive oil, this is really important. If you get canned fish packed in olive oil, it's delicious. If you already like canned fish and eat it, good for you. But if you don't like it, or if you don't like anything that quote unquote tastes fishy, the fishy taste in fish, number one, mostly comes from the omega-3s. So that's the stuff that you want from fish, as well as it's a good protein source. But it's the oxidization of those healthy fats that make fish smell fishy. So it's exposure to air and packing. And that's why fish, you know, needs to be fresh. But if you're going to get canned in water, it still tends to oxidize more than if you pack it in oil. So if you've never tried sardines packed in olive oil, or salmon, or scallops, there's a whole bunch of really good tinned fish that you can get. And at Trader Joe's is where I get most of mine, and packed in. Look for packed in olive oil if you've never tried it. It's really nice. I eat it for breakfast. It's a great way to start the day with something savory, some healthy protein, and healthy fats. But most people are not going to do that. So that's why I recommend that most people take about 1.5 grams of fish oil every day. And it's really important to not buy cheap fish oil either, because you want to get fish oil that's been properly processed and handled by a reputable company that tests their equipment. It's expensive to buy the equipment that processes fish oil to filter out any toxins and test it for the presence of any toxins, because there's toxins in the ocean everywhere that are unavoidable. And so you want to get good fish oil. Comes from little tiny fish that haven't been alive very long, and from really cold waters in the north or to the far south off the coast of Norway or Chile, generally little anchovies, sardines, and tested for low content of mercury and other toxins and the adequate amounts of the 2 omega-3 fatty acids that you need, which are EPA and DHA. So look for a fish oil that you can usually, a good one will have about 1.5 grams of combined EPA and DHA in 2 gel caps. I stock fish oils from Designs for Health and Orthomolecular Products because I've found really excellent results with both of those. There's a few other good brands. I've also seen the testing data on Metagenics fish oil. I've used that for years. And Nordic Naturals is excellent. Nordic Naturals is available in stores, unlike those other 3 brands. So if you're looking for a good brand in a store, Nordic Naturals is a good way to go for your fish oil. The most basic nutrient of all that many people do not get enough of is water. So most of us should drink about 2 to 4 liters of water a day. depending on body weight. If you, an easy reference, if you weigh more than 120 pounds, I recommend drinking at least 2 liters of water a day. If you're over 150, at least 3 liters a day. And if you're over 175, 180, probably 4 liters a day. And that's a lot more than most people drink. If you're drinking bottled water, the standard bottled water that you see that people hand out for free places is usually 16 ounces. That's a pint. So a liter or a quart is twice that. So, you know, at least if you're thinking of those little plastic bottles that you see everywhere, those pint bottles, think of at least 4 of those, up to 8 of those per day. And of course, it's better to not drink water out of plastic bottles at all, because they sit in that soft plastic and absorb plastic, and then you're drinking plastic, and that's not good. It's better. The best way is to get a good quality water filter at home. The most common types of home water filters that people are familiar with are reverse osmosis systems that go under your sink, which are better, much better. They filter out most of the stuff you don't want in your water. Better than, say, just a Brita or a cheap granular carbon filter. But the best home filter is a solid carbon block filter. Instead of the little granules of carbon, it's a solid carbon block with little tiny holes in it, nano-sized holes in it, that filter out all of the toxins in the water. And they're rated and have to get tested by NSF. You can look this up on their website. The brand that makes the solid carbon block water filters is Multi-Pure. That's what I have in my home and in my office. And they have to get NSF certified for all of the contaminants that they claim that their systems remove every few years. And I've verified that when I started with those systems about 10 years ago. I used to use reverse osmosis before that for a couple of decades, and it was so much better when I switched. The water tastes better. The main benefit, in addition to getting all of the toxins out, is it leaves some of the minerals in. And so when you leave some of the minerals in water, it keeps it alkaline, whereas reverse osmosis water is slightly acidic. And that filtering out of all, the stripping out of all of the minerals, makes your body strip minerals from your muscles and your bones to balance out the pH of the water. So it's much better to drink filtered water from a solid carbon block filter for the alkalinity, and to filter out all the stuff that you don't want. It even filters out PFAS and some of the new things. Anytime some new pollutant comes out, it turns out that this filter is already equipped to remove it much of the time. And a solid carbon block filter also doesn't block your water pressure as much as a reverse osmosis membrane does. So you still get a nice strong pressure when you're wanting to fill a large container. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions to Any Health Challenge. We're talking about how to start out the new year right so that you can thrive in 2025 by taking better care of your health. Resolve to make this the best year for your health. Make your health better this year than it was last year. And there's some important things that can help you with that. The next one we're going to talk about is sleep. Everyone should be sleeping 7, 8 hours a night for most people, preferably uninterrupted. But if you get up once or twice a night, it doesn't matter, as long as you go back to sleep easily. And how many hours you get doesn't matter necessarily. Some people do fine on 6 hours. What really matters is, do you wake up feeling rested and refreshed? That's the most important thing. That's the best way to tell if you're getting adequate sleep, as you wake up rested and refreshed, ready to go, ready to start the next day. It's the best way to tell if you've got the right mattress or the right pillow. It's not how you feel when you lie down at night, but how do you feel when you get up the following morning? Do you wake up feeling rested and refreshed, no kinks, no stiffness, no stuffed up nose or lungs? If you have a stuffy nose and lungs, there's a whole bunch of things that I recommend for that. But if you're having difficulty getting to sleep, I can often help with that by identifying what's making it difficult for you to get to sleep and coming up with a solution that you can often do yourself at home. You might also need some calming nutrients for a period of time. If you're waking up and having difficulty getting back to sleep due to pain, restless legs, intrusive thoughts, you wake up thinking about something, anxiety, or if you're having to go to the bathroom too much, there are options available to address all of these things, which don't involve drugs. Sometimes taking a low dose of melatonin is important. certainly not for everybody. For years, I hesitated to recommend melatonin because even when I tried it from a lot of the top shelf companies, I didn't find that it got the result. But a few years ago, I began using specifically melatonin from Designs for Health. Designs for Health is one of my favorite companies. Their products just seem to work most of the time, almost all the time. And melatonin, their melatonin products in particular, are just completely different. I've had patients have said, "Oh, I've tried melatonin before; it didn't work, didn't help at all." And I've heard reports about how a lot of the melatonin supplements that you get in stores are just completely useless, either because they're inadequate dose or improper binding agents. I don't remember what the details were on that, but it was just a game changer when I started putting patients who needed it on either a capsule of melatonin to help you fall asleep better, or a time-release tablet, a slow-release tablet, low dose, 6 milligrams, slow-release tablet. And people often ask, "Oh, if I take melatonin, is my body going to stop making it?" And things like that used to be a common belief, and the research is in. Absolutely not. It's been completely disproven. They've done studies with athletes. Melatonin is actually a potent anti-inflammatory. So they've done studies with athletes taking up to 15 grams a day, and it had no effect on their body's normal, natural production of melatonin. The production of melatonin is largely regulated by your exposure to light and your sleep-wake cycle, not by how much you take. So if you're someone who wakes up at night and has difficulty getting back to sleep, sometimes taking a 6 milligram slow-release tablet will make it less likely for you to wake up for no reason and make it easier to get to sleep if you have woken up just to go to the bathroom, for example. There's another nutrient I use a lot, or combination of nutrients, to just balance out your neurotransmitters and calm your mind and your body more. It's called Serenity PM by Orthomolecular Products. So I've had lots and lots of people with sleep difficulties get amazingly better sleep with that. So functional medicine. Make your health decisions based on sufficient relevant testing to identify the specific support your body needs. That's what functional medicine is. You do relevant testing. Not everyone needs to do every single test, but most people need to do more tests and additional tests to what you would get from a standard visit to your physician for an annual physical. Those are generally not enough tests to identify how healthy you are. It's easy to identify an obvious full-blown medical condition like diabetes or heart disease or kidney disease or liver disease or an acute infection. These things are really easy to identify on just a few tests. To identify how healthy your immune system and your gut and your cardiovascular system, your digestive system, how healthy all of these interconnected systems are, you need to do more tests. And you need to use a different yardstick when you're looking at the tests, not just the broad range that says you have diabetes today, take this pill, or, you know, you have kidney disease, or you have a full-blown condition that requires a medical diagnosis and pharmaceutical treatment or a referral to a specialist, but a narrower focus, the same blood tests, the same complete blood count, metabolic panel, your iron levels, your red blood cell count, all of these things have an additional range in addition to the broad medical range. For example, if your red blood cell count is super, super narrow and you have anemia, you might need a blood transfusion. Or if it's super, super broad, you might have hemochromatosis and need to give blood. But somewhere in between that is health. And a lot of times people walk out of a standard medical evaluation. Thyroid is another classic one. You can be within the medical range and be told your thyroid is fine, but you still have no energy, you have cold hands and feet, can never shift that last 15 or 20 pounds of weight because you have functional low thyroid. What does that mean? It means your thyroid is not functioning at 100%. And it's within the medical range, but it's outside of the functional range, this narrower range, roughly this band in the middle third of the broader medical range that identifies what your blood work looks like when you're in your teens and your 20s and everything's working perfectly. And that that type of narrower range applies to every test. So when you identify things that are outside that range and restore the nutrients required for your body to heal and repair itself, then you restore health. So the headlines you often read in mass media about different supplements and nutrients are rarely based on well-designed clinical research. They're often based on ridiculously poorly designed studies that often seem specifically designed to fail. So you hear about, if you ever see studies that say, oh, vitamin D doesn't work or fish oil doesn't work, well, if you read the fine print or send it to me, better yet, and I'll read the fine print for you and then describe what was wrong with that study the following week. But for, so for example, 2013, some ridiculous headline came out saying that fish oil increases the risk of prostate cancer, which is just ridiculous on the face of it. I mean, people eat fish all the time. Has anybody ever heard of? Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. The study was really poorly designed. It wasn't even directly measuring consumption of fish oil. It was measuring something else. And the test they used to measure it was the wrong test. They were using plasma phospholipid levels, which fluctuate quickly. And it's far more accurate to identify your levels of omega-3s with an RBC omega-3 level. This is a test that anyone can do for general health purposes to see if you're getting adequate omega-3s in your diet. And it's a simple test you can do at home. You get a kit. It's a dried spot. You just get a little finger prick, put a drop of blood on a little dried card and mail it in. And if that seems strange, I was a little skeptical. You know, why don't you have to do a proper blood draw to get a measure of this? Well, the reason is because you're not measuring serum. You're using red blood cells. So the packaging is the cells themselves. So that's why you can do an accurate test with just a tiny drop of blood, because the red blood cells they're measuring are really tiny, and it just takes a few of them. And omega-3s are bound up in red blood cells, and that is the best way to measure whether or not you're getting enough in your diet. So the latest study, which just came out, the CAPFISH 3 trial, a phase 2 clinical study, offers much more promising new evidence. The researchers looked at the effects of a high omega-3 and low omega-6. That's the bad fats from cheap vegetable oil and fried foods and baked goods and supermarkets and stuff like that. And combined that, they studied the effects of this high omega-3, low omega-6 diet combined with fish oil supplements in men with active prostate cancer. And the important thing about this is they used a much better marker for identifying the effects of what they were looking for, which is reduction of prostate cancer. And they used a marker called Ki-67. So Ki-67 is a protein that's found only in cells that are dividing. So a high Ki-67 proliferation index means that many cells are dividing quickly, and therefore the cancer is spreading and growing. And this is not a test that you can do at home. It requires a biopsy, but for the people for the study, this type of a controlled study, it's an excellent indicator of whether or not something is working. And so the results are the people with the high omega-3 diet combined with fish oil supplements, their Ki-67 marker for tumor growth decreased by 15%. Which is huge, because a lot of things, they're happy if it doesn't change at all. You just stop any growth or proliferation in this marker, and it decreased by 15%. And the control group that had none of the omega-3s, theirs increased. Their cancer got 24% worse. So it's a difference of over 30% between the two groups. So the group with the fish oil and a marker that often, it's a good news if it doesn't change at all, actually decreased by 15%, decreased growth of the tumor measurement, and the group that did not do any fish oil as a control group, their marker increased by 24%, which is what you don't want. Their cancer growth increased. The omega-3 group also had lower triglycerides and lower levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines. And this was the CAPFISH 3 randomized clinical trial published this month, December 2024, in Journal of Clinical Oncology. Thank you for tuning in. I hope this gave you some good ideas, or at least a reminder of things that you already know you should do, and hopefully inspires you to start out the new year right with a renewed commitment to taking better care of your health every day with better food, physical activity you actually enjoy, supplementing nutrients that might be missing from your food, and testing to make sure that everything is working as it should so that you can thrive in 2025. Have a great weekend. We'll see you here next week on KDAR 98.3.
You've been listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley. If you have a health question you want discussed on the show, email your health questions to Dr. Binkley at BinkleyHealingCenter.com. Take advantage of this opportunity to ask questions for yourself and for your loved ones, because our health matters. Join him next Friday at 2 p.m. for Safe, Effective Natural Solutions here on 98.3 FM, The Word.